Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Well, what am I supposed to do with this? I'll admit that this parable made me ask that question this week. It makes a lot of people ask that question. This story of the shrewd manager is often considered Jesus' most difficult parable to interpret, because it just doesn't make sense. Here's this guy who's basically a swindler. He's been accused of mismanaging his master's funds. Then he goes off and does just that, and then the master pats him on the back for doing so. And this is somehow supposed to tell us about the kingdom of God? What are we supposed to do with this one? Well, if we look at the text itself, it's clear that the parable puzzled even the people who put the Bible together, because there are six different interpretations tacked on at the end of it. Although scholars can't really agree about what the parable itself means, they do typically agree that the parable ends after the first half of verse 8. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Stop. Then for the rest of the read, from the second half of verse 8 through the end, each of the other verses give their own interpretations. We've got everything from make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, to if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? To, of course, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. So if even the biblical writers can't agree on what's going on here, how are we supposed to know what it means? Well, I don't know for sure. But I do know that one helpful approach is always to keep the text in its context. Right, when we hear these readings on Sunday morning, we only get a little snippet of the narrative. It's like watching one scene from a movie and not knowing the whole story or even where the scene fits in the larger flow of things. So let's back up for a moment and see where this parable kind of fits in the larger story. Maybe that'll help us to crack this nut a little bit. So in the previous chapter, in Luke 15, which we heard about last week, Jesus told those famous three parables, right? Losing and finding the sheep, losing and finding the coin, and losing and finding the father. And he told those parables to the scribes and Pharisees who were accusing him of welcoming tax collectors and sinners and eating with them. Well, today, at the start of chapter 16, there's no change in context. The tax collectors and sinners are still gathered around Jesus. His disciples are still there. And the Pharisees and scribes are still fuming at him. They've just heard him finish telling the story of the father and his two sons. And they're clearly relating to the older brother. Right? They feel like the ones who have worked hard and done what they're supposed to do. But now they're furious that their jerk of a brother gets a party. So at the start of today's reading, we hear that Jesus told this parable of a manager to his disciples. But in verse 14, that comes right after this reading, we hear that the Pharisees, quote, heard all this and they ridiculed him. So it's clear that Jesus wants the Pharisees to overhear what he's saying. Right? He knows what they're thinking. Why in the world is he throwing a party for these sinners when they're such horrible people? And I bet that question is why Jesus tells this parable of the manager. I can imagine a conversation between Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees going kind of like this. Jesus said, "Okay, guys, you think it's unfair that the younger son was given a party when he came home. You think he should have been punished, right? Well, let me tell you another story. Maybe you'll like this one better. Once upon a time, there was this landowner who entrusted his property to his manager. But then he heard that his manager was squandering the property. Well, then I bet one of the Pharisees said, "Hey, Jesus, you're just telling the same story in a different way. It's just like the son who squandered his father's property." "Oh, but is it?" Jesus probably asked. After this manager squandered his master's property, the master fired him. He told him that he was completely irresponsible and was no longer fit to belong in his household. "Now you're talking," one of the Pharisees could have said. "Now you're getting the hang of it, Jesus. That's what's supposed to happen. I like this story." "So then," Jesus said, "just like the younger son from the other story, this guy talks to himself about what he's supposed to do. And he decides to reduce the debts of the people who owe his master money." A scribe then pipes up, "Wait a minute, Jesus, he can't do that. He doesn't have that authority. He just got fired." Ignoring that comment, Jesus goes on. "And then when the master finds out that he reduced those debts, he applauds the guy and tells him he did a great job." "No," the Pharisees screamed, "you're getting the story all wrong again, Jesus. That's not how the world works." "Ah," Jesus could have said, "that's true. That's not how the world works. But I'm not talking about your world. I'm talking about the kingdom of God." So like us looking at this text, I bet the Pharisees and scribes were looking at Jesus and thinking, "What are we supposed to do with you? Here you are acting like you're a rabbi, but you're not doing what a rabbi's supposed to do. You're not following our script. You're off doing your own thing. Here you are, parable of the shrewd manager, acting like you're a parable, but you're not doing what a parable's supposed to do. You're not following our expectations. You're doing your own thing, and we don't know what to do with you." Well, likewise, in the story itself, the landowner probably asked, "What am I supposed to do with you?" when he heard the rumor that his manager was mismanaging the funds. And then the manager then asked, "What am I supposed to do?" when he found out he was getting fired. And then the landowner asked himself again, "What am I supposed to do?" when he found out the manager had reduced those debts. So this story, very much like Jesus himself, does not follow the script that we write. And that makes us frustrated. We want this parable to follow what we think a parable should be. More importantly, we want Jesus to follow our ideas of what we think he should be. We want him to support the status quo. We want him to agree with our political views and hate the same people we hate. We want him to dish out justice as we think it should be. "Ah," Jesus could have said, "I'm not talking about your world. I'm talking about the kingdom of God." So does that mean that the kingdom of God involves cheating and swindling and being rewarded for unethical behavior? No, of course not. Rather, the kingdom of God works by breaking into our world and making us think, "Now, what am I supposed to do with this?" On the one hand, we're often like the Pharisees, or like the landowner, who expect that this guy we trust named Jesus is not behaving the way we expect. So then we wonder, what are we supposed to do with him? Maybe we tell him, you are messing things up way too much. You are not managing my life the way I want you to. Therefore, I don't want you in my life anymore. Maybe we think that. Or maybe we just ignore Jesus. Like when things get too tough. Or when he lays a heavy responsibility on us. Or when he calls us to do something uncomfortable. Then maybe we just ignore him. We pretend that he's not involved in our lives. We leave this place on Sunday morning as if what we heard and experienced doesn't really matter at all. And when that happens, Jesus still goes off and takes care of the people who are around us. He is still very much involved in their lives. He welcomes those who are cast out, and there is great rejoicing. Then he looks at us and says, "Why are you so angry? The party's been right here in front of you the entire time." Or, on the other hand, when we see Jesus doing these really weird things, like not following the script of the world, maybe our response is to celebrate. Because he's doing this for us. If Jesus followed the rules of the world, then we would all be at a loss. We would all be so deep in debt that we could never repay. We would be the losers who would be cast aside. But that's not how Jesus works. Because with Jesus, the lost thing is always found. The sinners who crowd around Jesus know how much they need him. We gather around him because we know we need him. And because we know that he does not treat us the way the world treats us. And so, yeah, there are many different interpretations of this really strange parable. None of which may completely cover what Jesus was saying. But I can't help notice that when Jesus goes off script, when he does his own thing, when he doesn't do what other people expect, that's always a good thing. And it's a good thing for us. And then, because he does it, he then calls us to do the same thing. He calls us to go off the world script, to follow him, to surprise people. And then, when they see us, maybe they'll think, what am I supposed to do with you? And maybe that's a mark of a true Christian. That you leave the world confused because of the love and mercy you show others. Because in the end, it's not about living in the values of this world. It's about living in the kingdom of God. Maybe this tough nut has some good stuff in it after all. In the name of the one who flips the script, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.